I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
305, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Gang, it is Wednesday, and this week, Wednesday means way more than it did last week. Because tomorrow, Friday Eve, is actually for many of us sort of the Friday. It's Independence Day, and it is going to be great. I have a question for you. Did you watch the live streams of the Unity rally last night? This was the big Unity event for my team. These are my people. I'll be voting for each of them. This was the, hey, let's all get together. We're all on the same page. Everything is fine. Keep going straight ahead. And I got to tell you, I think Governor Glenn Youngkin reminded everybody just what a great inspirational leader he is, a great campaigner. And I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled, with everything that the governor did last night. I was excited. Now, listening to Charles Pyle there, in his report, he said that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears complimented Attorney General Jason Meares, but didn't mention John Reed in her speech. Maybe I was just caught up in all the excitement and all the hullabaloo and thinking, well, all right, we're all moving forward now, which is kind of where I want to be. Is that correct? Did I miss something, or did I insert something that wasn't actually there? If you were paying attention last night, you tell me what your perception was of the big GOP unity rally. You can hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Let me know. I personally happen to believe that we have a commonwealth to safeguard. My commonwealth, your commonwealth, our beloved commonwealth. I just want to see us do the right thing and keep Virginia from becoming California East or New York South. That doesn't mean that everybody's got to love each other. In fact, there's a part of me thinking, well, we elect each office individually. Maybe that's just really, you know, what it is we're all about. I don't know. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm just hoping that everybody last night got exactly what they needed out of it. I did. I'm good. I will proudly have each of the three signs up at Casa Cats. We'll have them on the road. We'll have them facing the course. Now, I've already got the John Reed signs up. Those were, I want to say, relatively easy to get. But I do know I have to replace some John Reed signs that I had placed around Hanover County, because as I was driving around this morning, I noticed that at least one had been replaced by a sign. No, not for a candidate, so I can't get overly angry. Well, I'm a little angry. But one of them had been replaced with a sign for the Ashland Little League flag football thing. Now, I'm all in favor of Ashland Little League, and I'm all in favor of flag football, but leave the damn signs alone. I mean, you got plenty of space here. It's a big county. Put your signs up for sure. But I got to get some more of those. And I want to get a Winsome Earl Sears sign for out front and out back, and I want to get a Jason Meares sign for out front and out back as well. Happy to do everybody. And I hope, I said this to Rich Herrera this morning on Richmond's Morning News. I said, my hope is that Governor Youngkin is out there hitting the campaign trail as well. Think about it. Four powerful conservatives in different parts of the state crisscrossing the state for the next number of months. I think that would be great. I think it would be great. But again, I'm curious to know what you took from it last night. The James River Air text line, always the best way for you to get in touch with me. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. One of my favorites, Brad Thor, is going to be with us at 3:35. There is a brand new Scott Horvath novel. Yep. I'm telling you, by the time I get them, to the time I finish them, most days, I have to push myself not to read it all at once. Doesn't that sound weird? But truthfully, I love Thor's writing so much, and I love the character of Horvath so much, I don't want it to go away really, really fast. I like lingering. I like holding on to it. So I think I've done it with this one. I would say to Brad, I will say to Brad at 3:35 when he joins us, I really want to keep this for Independence Day reading, Independence Day weekend. Friday, we've got some plans with friends. So I'm not going to be sitting around their house reading, obviously. But Saturday and Sunday, I'm thinking I may steal an hour or two for myself and sit and enjoy this book. I read part of it the other night. I thought, oh, if I start it, I'm going to have to finish it. So I only read a couple of pages. All right, and then I went back and I read a couple more. But I didn't finish it. I didn't read it all the way through. I can't even tell you what happened. So I think I'm good at holding it off or trying to hold it off for Independence Day. But Scott Horvath will be with us, right? Well, not actually. I mean, that would be pretty cool. That would actually be pretty cool if he could be here. But no, it'll be Brad Thor, who's a New York Times best-selling author. Yeah. John Reed, Lieutenant Governor candidate, is going to be with us at 4:35. Mike Dickinson will be here at 5:35. All sorts of great stuff. So I'm taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, do you want some cheese to go with your wine? What am I whining about? I don't think I'm whining about anything. I'm just asking if you heard something or didn't hear something last night in the Unity rally that either I missed or I somehow mentally inserted. 804 says, Jeff, I'm voting all red, but it does seem to me that Lieutenant Governor Sears is shooting herself in the foot with this constant snubbing of John Reed. Huh. All right. Joe in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia says, hey, Jeff, I thought it was low-key and boring. I was frankly hoping for more energy. Fair enough. Someone else says, Jeff, John was taking the high road, always has taken the high road, and was calling for unity, as he has. Yeah. Lisa in Hanover says, Jeff, why wouldn't Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears mention John Reed in her speech? Was it intentional? It just makes the party look bad. Wow. All right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Which is, frankly, what I keep coming back to anytime you ask me about politics. Because, as you know, I hate politics. God, I hate politics. I really do. I hate everything about it. I mean, it is what it is. We got to do it, right? We need leaders, and this is how we do it. We elect people and blah, blah, blah. And it's a terrible system, as they've said, except for all the other, except for all the other systems, which are even worse. So we've got it. I just wish we could focus like with a laser beam and get stuff done. Because we really do have a commonwealth to protect. You got to remember something. Governor Youngkin came in after 8 years of epic mismanagement, terrible damage that had been done to Virginia. And he was able to right the ship, get us back on track, which is great. Now our challenge is going to be staying there. It's always easier to get stuff done, if you will. It's harder to stay on track, so I'm hoping we're able to do it. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We got a lot of stuff we'll be chatting about this afternoon. Again, James River Air text line available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It is 315 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 320 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It's Wednesday. It's not brutal. It's 80 degrees. Isn't it crazy? By comparison, it seems really, really, really comfy. Seems good. We need your help, and by we, I mean me. I am heading up Team Katz for the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We have been charged. There are four of us, four teams, the four highest fundraisers ever in the history of our marquee event, the Father Figure. And collectively, we are charged with raising $100,000. But it's divided amongst four teams, and I got some pretty heavy hitters on my team. Tomorrow, down at Westchester Commons, they're going to be another concert. And that's Mark Bowen down there. Mark is on my team. Mark heads up all of that stuff. So you head on over there, and the Fatherhood Foundation Team Katz is actually the beneficiary of the big concert down there tomorrow. What is the kickoff? 5-6 in the evening? Something like that. And I would urge you, if you're down that way, check them out. Check them out. Westchester Commons. Always great stuff, great music, and Mark, I know, is working overtime there to get this all done, but tomorrow is the big concert, and we would love to have you down there, and that money, again, is going to be headed towards my team. So, yeah, here it is, 5:30 to 8:30. Love to see you down there, and again, that money is going to head on over to Team Katz. We got some other events coming up. The easiest thing, and by the way, nothing fancy about this. I'm just telling you flat out, we got to raise the money. Simple as that. Why? Well, I love my kids. Pain in the rear end a lot of time, but I love them. And I know how much easier it is inside of families if, in fact, you have a father. There are now huge numbers of families without fathers. Children who are growing up or trying to grow up without a father in their life. And I'm sorry to tell you this, it doesn't work. It works if it has to, but it's not as good as if dad is there. So, the goal of the Fatherhood Foundation is today, as it's always been, helping dads be the best fathers they possibly can be. There you go. Simple as that. You want the details? I'm not going to give it here. Just go to Facebook. Go to The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Go to Radio Katz on Facebook, RadioKatz. Either one of them has the link there, and you will be able to click on it and make a donation. End of story. Hey, there's another Obama-appointed judge who thinks he was elected President of the United States. Yep, there we go again. Federal judge on Wednesday blocked President Trump's executive order that would have prevented illegal aliens crossing the border from seeking asylum. District Judge Randolph Daniel Moss said the order exceeds Trump's authority. And how does he know that? Because he was appointed by Barack Obama, and if anybody knows anything about exceeding the authority of the President of the United States, it would be the dude who appointed him to the bench. This is another one, I suppose, that is headed back to the Supreme Court. Do you see how dangerous it is to have these rogue judges out there? judges who really do believe that they're the president. They are more important than anyone else. I got news for you. I didn't vote for him. I'm not interested in what he has to say. Not at all. That's it. Not interested. That being said, I'm hoping against hope, that it is going to be headed back to the Supreme Court, that that's where this winds up yet again. Maybe at that point there'll be a proper resolution. Maybe at that point we will actually have some answers. Maybe at that point we'll acknowledge that the President of the United States is the President of the United States. And these local judges, well, they're a lot of things, but president they are not. Brad Thor is going to be with us at 3:35. Looking forward to chatting with him, talking a lot about the latest Scott Horvath novel. It is called Edge of Honor. 3:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon, 82 degrees, and you know, we could very well see some more storms rolling through just the way it's going to be. Independence Day is looking pretty nice. Friday is really, really, really looking like a great day, not just to celebrate this nation, which ought to be number one on the list of things we do on Independence Day, but also to enjoy some time with friends and family. We've got a great couple of days coming up. My goal when I open this package containing the very latest from Brad Thor, it's called Edge of Honor, the latest Scott Horvath novel, was to not read it. It's not an offensive thing, and I'm hoping that Brad doesn't take it as an offensive thing. Man, I want to savor it. I don't want it to end. I don't want to just breeze through it and then have to go back and reread it right away. Brad, why do you do this to me?
This is like asking the drug dealer why his crack is so good, because that's my business, Jeff. Come on, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, then you are like the top of your business, because it is the biggest challenge is sitting there going, no, I'm going to limit myself. Nope, they're like potato chips. I'm going to read 10 pages and then I'm going somewhere. All right, 12 pages, that's it. And it just never works.
Well, I'm thrilled. That means I'm doing my job. And by the way, I hope you noticed the little nod to Richmond in the book.
Oh, well, tell everybody about the nod, please.
Yeah, so there's a really fun, Jeff, you've always been a big booster of mine. You've been so kind to me, sharing me with your audience all these years. And so I took one of the big action set pieces and brought in some FBI from Richmond and set it just outside Richmond. And it's a really, really cool scene towards the end of the book. So it's fun for me because the whole Edge of Honor book is about a big shadowy cabal in D.C., but it unfolds in D.C. and then outside. It spreads into Virginia and goes to Richmond. So that's kind of fun, and you're my contact with Richmond. So that was a neat thing for me to be able to do this year for you and for your listeners.
You are the best. Well, you already knew that from my tribute earlier. I have to know about this threat inside the government, because you're tied into so much, and the research you do for the Scott Horvath novels, it's just off the charts. So, this is sort of the pitch piece for readers. What if the biggest threat to America was already inside the government? Well, Mr. Thor, do you know something we don't know?
This is fiction. This is toes in the sand, book in the hands. And what I wanted to do, listen, I want people to have a great fun time. I want to take them away from the real world, but also be as true to how spies work and the Navy SEALs and that kind of stuff. So my idea with this book was that the youngest American president since Kennedy has been elected. And there is a shadowy cabal, kind of like the Jacobins in the French Revolution, that don't like this guy. got. And they've decided the voters be damned. We don't care what they want. We have an agenda for the United States, and we're going to force this new president out of power by whatever means are necessary, even violence. And so Scott Harvath has been on a beautiful honeymoon with his new wife, a Norwegian spy. She's never seen the United States for the 4th of July. He wants to give her the best force possible, but they both get sucked into this plot to overthrow the government, and they both have their own storylines, which is kind of cool, kind of side by side in this book. So like I said, he lives just near Mount Vernon. Stuff goes over to Richmond, of course, a lot of stuff in DC. So it was just a fun patriotic red, white, and blue thriller for the fourth.
Oh, dude, it is red, white, and blue, rinse and repeat. It's great stuff. Although, I'm feeling like I could be developing a little bit of a crush on Scott's new bride. I mean, she's something else.
She sold me. Yeah, I mean, a little bit younger than him, definitely, and he admits she's smarter, she's more talented than he is as a spy, and he said the only area he's got her beat in the espionage game is that he's been at it longer and has more experience. Other than that, he swears she's better than him in every single category. So it's kind of fun to pit the two, not against each other, but to have them be on parallel tracks and see who's going to solve this thing first. So again, lots of fun, set in your neck of the woods. Great to read over the 4th or anytime this summer.
Oh, listen, this has Beach Read written all over it. I've been telling people about it already, Brad. Let me remind everybody, Brad Thor is here. Brad is absolutely my favorite author at this point when it comes to works of fiction. Scott Harvath is, I feel like he's a cousin. You know, every once in a while he checks in and go, no kidding, you were up to saving the world again. Good for you, dude. And who's the lovely lady on your arm? You know, give me more details. But this is, as you said, the toes in the sand sort of a read, except it just ends too quickly. I don't know if you just have to stretch them out more, you got to have more plots in there, whatever it is, it's just always such a great read. What is it that inspires you about Harvath? Because authors that I've spoken to through the years, Brad, say, well, you know, there's a little bit of me over here. I kind of base that on this. And, you know, we mentioned Richmond because Jeff Katz and his audience. But what is it? There's got to be something about Harvath that you're thinking, you know, I never did get to do that, but he's doing it.
Yeah, he gets to do the things my wife won't let me do. I'm not going to run out and marry a 5'10", beautiful Norwegian spy, blonde, 15 years younger than me, anytime soon. Not while I'm breathing. My wife's not going to allow that. So, listen, I think Jack Ryan was Clancy's alter ego. I think Bond was Fleming's alter ego. And Harvath is absolutely my alter ego. You know, we all have that wit of the staircase thing, as the French say, that we leave a cocktail party and as we're walking down the stairs, that we get hit with what a great rejoinder that would have been. I should have said this when that person said that. And the great thing about being an author is you don't have that gap. You get to have the great lines for your hero all the time, right at the tip of his tongue. And it's fun. This is my 25th novel. If you can't have fun in your career by the 25th, you're in the wrong business.
No kidding. You go in to your office, right? Do you literally treat this as a job, Brad? Are you sitting down every day at 8:15 saying, got to do 50 pages today?
It is seat of pants to seat of chair. It is 99.9 perspiration, and then that last little bit is inspiration. Yeah, it is a strictly disciplined business. You couldn't crank out a book a year for over two decades if you weren't disciplined. So, yeah, that's definitely me. I'm in that chair every morning, same time, cranking it out.
What's your ritual? Is there a specific type of coffee? Do you have to wear certain slippers? What do you do to make sure you're in that right frame of mind?
Who was it that was in Shakespeare in Love? Was it one of the Fiennes brothers? And he would be Shakespeare, but he'd spit on the ground, turn around three times, and then sit in his chair before writing. He had his ritual. You know what? I'm a big coffee drinker, but if I don't work out, that ruins the whole day. So I get up, I work out, I have a quick breakfast, then I'm in the office. There's nothing that's set that much in stone, but I have to get in the office, I have to start working, and I can't touch the internet, because all of a sudden you look up and half the day's gone.
Yeah. Man, tell us a little bit about the banning in Saudi Arabia, because I thought I had forgotten about this. What was it? The Lost Patriot. You had fictionalized a piece of writing, and Saudi Arabia said, look, Mr. Thor, get out of here.
Yeah. No. So the Last Patriot, which is actually has a big setting at Poplar Forest, Thomas Jefferson's estate, which is really was a fun book to write. But it fictionalized the idea that there was a chapter missing from the Muslim holy book, the Quran, and if it could be rediscovered, it would absolutely upend Islam. And as you can imagine, that did not go over well in Saudi Arabia, and that book got banned there. And it drew me a lot of unwanted attention. We actually ended up moving house after that book came out.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought it was just like, hey, well, you know, you got 25 books. We'll sell 24 of them and don't plan any, don't plan any summertime activities here. I didn't realize it was that bad. Gosh, that's
It was sticky.
Oh my gosh. Well, you're friends with DHS though, right? Homeland Security. What did they recruit you into now? Another group of writers and artists where you just sit around, where you sit around and brainstorm terrorist scenarios?
Yeah, so that's called the Analytic Red Cell Unit, and I got invited in. My buddy, another terrific writer, Brad Meltzer, was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Movie directors, they brought all these creative people in from outside the Beltway to help them outsmart and out-creative the bad guys. Where might they hit us next at home and abroad? And, government is often criticized for fighting the next war by looking in their rearview mirror and not looking forward over the horizon. And so they brought us in, like I said, outside the Beltway people who don't have that kind of government think, and we helped them war game different scenarios. And as the son of a United States Marine, it was an honor.
Yeah. Well, you are somebody who gives back all the time. I want to remind everybody, the latest book is called Edge of Honor, and it is a must read. Before we go any further, Brad, just let everybody know exactly the best place to get a copy of it. Is it bradthor.com? Is it amazon.com? What do you suggest?
It's wherever you love to buy your books, your audiobooks, your ebooks, wherever it is. You can go to bradthor.com. I describe the book. There's a bunch more information about the book there and links to retailers. But whatever book seller you want to give your lovely business to, go to them. They'll have it.
All right. Now, I am going to contradict you, Mr. Thor. I am going to tell people they need to go to... No. They have to go to bradthor.com because that's where they can actually get the challenge coin for Edge of Honor, right? You're not going to find that at Amazon. Maybe you get a coffee over there, but there are no challenge coins over there. You need to go to bradthor.com.
Yeah, and that's a fun thing we do every year. We do these limited edition challenge coins, and for people who aren't familiar with those, you see those in the law enforcement, the military community. It's a way of kind of saying, hey, good job. Sometimes you'll have a big wig visit you, and you'll get a coin because you impress them, or they're impressed with your unit, and vice versa. So it's just a neat thing that I started years and years ago, and fans just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna poke you and remind you I need one of those for my collection. I've got them for other books, but I'm just mentioning it as an aside. Don't take it. The other thing is this.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Listen, you've sold a billion books. Believe me, some loudmouth that says send me a coin is not going to ruin it for you. I promise. But tell everybody about the phrase "stay in the fight" because I have to think. There are, I don't know, three people left on planet Earth who don't understand I will stay in the fight for freedom. I'm looking at the eye chart right now, or that phrase, stay in the fight. What does that mean to you? Why do you share that all the time?
So to me, it means remaining a responsible citizen and staying in your position of seeing to it that we hand a freer, more successful, more prosperous nation down to the next generation than was handed to us. And the term comes from an old Delta Force operator I know when I met him years ago and said, how would you like me to sign your book? And he said, I want you to sign it, stay in the fight. In fact, that should be your motto for everything. Stay in the fight. You're never out of the fight. And so that's where that comes from.
I love it. Well, it is everywhere. This is all kidding aside. People, I do believe, should go to bradthor.com and load up on some of this. The other thing that makes you so different from other folks, other authors, Brad, is that you actually travel. You go to bookstores. You do signings. You just seem to really love your fans almost as much as we love you.
I thank you, and it's definitely mutual. And as you and I are doing this Thursday night, I'm going to be at up in D.C. at Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue doing a book signing. So if anybody's in the neighborhood Thursday night at 7 o'clock, come on by and see me at Politics and Prose.
Well, Brad, as you know from the book Edge of Honor, D.C. is just a stone's throw from Richmond. And so, yes, this is a relatively easy commute up 95. We want to send everybody up there to get the book and get it signed. Tell everybody again where it is and when.
So it is at Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue, and it will be Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and that's also on bradthor.com. I have that information there, too, so you can get it there.
Love it.
You forget.
Last question. What's the next one? I mean, have you already finished like half of it already, the next Harbath novel?
I am working on something, and knowing you the way I do, I know I could trust you, but I worry about my competitors that listen to your program and want to get a leg up on my plots. So this is ultra top secret. We'll get you an early copy once it's done, but I want to be very careful. This is a state secret.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not telling Meltzer anything. My two favorite authors are both named Brad, but Meltzer, easy. I got nothing for him on this one. No, this is great. I think I've said it every time you've been on here. This is the best Harbath novel yet, and I'm looking forward to saying that again in, 9-10 months from now. And it is just such an enjoyable read. Again, bradthor.com. That's my opinion, where you should go immediately. Thursday, Brad is actually going to be up in D.C., Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue in the district if you want to get up there. Brad, it is okay with you, I hope, if we take Edge of Honor, the latest novel about Scott Harbath, and add it to the Jeff Katz Book Club online. Is that okay?
Oh, that would be fantastic. The only thing I ask in return is when you get the keys to Richmond for being the reason Richmond features so prominently in the book, that you'll invite me to the ceremony.
You got it, brother, and I'm mailing you off as as we speak. I've addressed an envelope to you with one of the Jeff Katz challenge coins. You got one for your collection.
All right, I'll return the favor to you, my friend. Thank you.
You're a great man. Hey, safe travels. Enjoy the event in D.C. And again, thank you for making time for us always. But thanks again for another great read. You put a big old smile on my face, and you forced my wife to look around the house for me, and that's it's all good stuff.
Well, right back at you, and happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day, brother. Stay in the fight. That is Brad Thor. I'm just telling you right now, you need something to read during the summer. Every one of us needs something to read during the summer. I love the Harbath novels. You know that because Brad's been here, he has 25 books, so I don't know, about 25 times throughout the years. And they're great reads. And I mean that. I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say it's difficult not to simply say, no, Heidi, I will be along. I did this the other night. She's like, are you coming to be? I am. Okay, make sure the Pixie went out. Yeah. Pixie's fine. Charlie, yeah, everybody's good. And I swear, like, oh, I'm just going to read 10 pages, 15. All right, a chapter. That's all I'm going to read is a chapter. And then, man, here we are. But Edge of Honor is the latest one. It is Brad Thor. BradThor.com is the website. I would urge you to get it. Now, if you're interested in the other Brad Thor accoutrements, there's great stuff there. If you're just looking for the book, okay, you go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. I know there's a Barnes & Noble reopening in the shopping center in Glen Allen on Brook Road where they used to be. They kind of switched stores. What was it, like 2 years ago? They shut down the big one. They got a smaller one going in. But Edge of Honor, absolutely a great read. 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 404, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and hold steady at 82 degrees. The humidity is not terrible. Not great, but, it's July the 2nd in Central Virginia. It is what it is. Edge of Honor from Brad Thor. Do you not love the fact that as a nod to me, your humble host, There's a visit to the greater Richmond area in Brad's latest book, Edge of Honor. All the more reason for you to get a copy of it. That's what I'm saying. All right, lots of great stuff coming up this afternoon. Mike Dickens is going to be dropping by at 5:35. We chat with Mike, as you know, once a week. He's kind of like our Andy Ngo, our citizen reporter, citizen journalist, handling a lot of stories that a lot of the folks in the legacy news media ranks just, well, they don't want to touch. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him what he thought of this big unity rally last night. Now, you've heard the news reports with Charles Pyle. And Charles, as I have said many times, Charles is a great reporter, fine journalist. We're not just thrilled to have him here, we're fortunate to have him here as part of this program. And he's not somebody who comes with any sort of bias. But you will hear that the big takeaway from that event last night is that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears did not mention the gentleman who was nominated to take the spot she holds now, Lieutenant Governor. I think a lot of people who came away from that event thinking, well, there's your takeaway. And I don't even know what that means, to tell you the truth.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't. You know, Winsome Sears may not like John Reed personally. Okay. That's possible. I don't know. I keep going back to this of I don't know. I do know this. I know that I live in the real world. Now, I have festooned my real world with all sorts of fun things like puppies and a brand new cat and stuff like that. But I live in the real world. And in the real world, I know that I love Virginia. I do. I have found my place. Love Central Virginia. Pretty much love everything about most of it. Not all of it. No. Don't go getting any ideas. But Hanover County? Absolutely. Best place on God's green earth. And no, we have no more room. I'm sorry. Just don't have. You can come here and visit, which is great. Please come to Hanover County, visit, leave money here, and then, you know, get out. We love you, but get out. So I want the best for Virginia. Is it selfish? Sure, it's selfish because I live here, because it's my place. But I do want the best for Virginia. And I know what's at stake here. I know, having lived through Terry McAuliffe and Ralph Northam, what an absolute disaster the Virginia Democrats would bring to the Commonwealth I love. I saw it. You saw it. We understand exactly what folks on that side want to do. Abigail Spanberger is a CIA person through and through. What does it mean? It means she can look you right in the eyes and lie to you and not even think about it. And she has built her political career on exactly that. I shared that with Rich Herrera, Rich from Richmond's Morning News. Again, if you're not listening, just telling you, 6 o'clock in the morning, you should be there. Good stuff. But I shared that with Rich, that Abigail Spanberger will destroy the progress that has been made with Governor Youngkin. There's another important part about Governor Youngkin that you have to understand. Governor Youngkin has vetoed all sorts of reprehensible garbage that came from the legislature. It's only because of Governor Youngkin that the most outrageous, most outlandish, most dangerous pieces of legislation have been stopped. It is why we cannot afford an Abigail Spamberger in the executive mansion. There are going to be people, I know this, I know it right now, there are going to be people, as a result of last night's GOP unity rally, who say, well, I'm not going to vote for Winsome Sears, because she wouldn't mention John Reed. I got to tell you something. Even if you dislike her, and you think that that was intentional, that was a terrible thing she did, she meant to specifically exclude him, as opposed to, you know, kind of caught up in the moment. We're talking about everybody she has worked closely for the last 4 years with Attorney General Jason Meares. I'm willing to say that's why she mentioned the AG and didn't mention our nominee for LG. But it is what it is. I know there will be some saying, well, I don't believe that, Jeff. Oh, no, it's all personal. Nope, I'm not going to vote for her. Not going to vote. Okay. Not voting for her means that you will then be subjecting your Commonwealth and my beloved Commonwealth to the likes of the most dangerous legislation ever in recent history. You would be saying that you want every stupid, irresponsible, dangerous piece of wokery brought to Virginia and enacted, because that's what would happen. I can't believe that that's how you feel. I can't believe that there would be anybody who would look at the desire of Spamberger and Hashmi and Jones to turn Virginia into California East, to turn Virginia into New York South. That is what they want to do. That is exactly what they will do if they get the opportunity. It would decimate Virginia. It would destroy Virginia. Just last night, there was a huge victory that came about as a result of President Trump. That Will Thomas, remember him? The dude? The dude who decided he was a dudette? He was, at best, a mediocre guys swimmer, but he said, you know, I'm gonna grow my hair long, and I'm not going to be William anymore. I'm going to be Leah, which, in case you didn't notice, are three letters, L-I-A, right there in the middle of William. And I'm going to just tell him I'm a girl. Well, I'm sure there were family members saying, hey, Will, you know, you're 6'4". Yeah. You know, you're...
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Thank you, Professor. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes, Doctor, that's exactly right. And this goofball, this lunatic, Will Thomas, oh, I don't care. I'll just tell him that I'm a girl. Yeah, but you're going to be in the locker room, aren't you? Yeah. You're going to be naked. Oh, yeah. And you're going to be with all those athletic... Yeah! Well, do you think that's right? Well, it'll work for me. You know that was part of it. It had to be part of his thinking. So he gets to do that, and according to the girls who were in that locker room, who were forced to be in that locker room, forced, and told when they complained there was something wrong with them, oh, you're terrible people, you need to go for some sort of to a re-education camp or something. And he walked around butt naked and everything else naked. And the girls were told they were the ones that had a problem. Well, last night, as a result of President Trump and Education Secretary Linda McMahon, the University of Pennsylvania officially stripped that dude of all of his female swimming titles, awarding them to the young ladies who actually won, and is going to be formally apologizing to all of the female swimmers. And there are still at least three swimmers with active multi-million dollar lawsuits outstanding against the University of Pennsylvania. This thing is a long way from being over, but it is only because of President Trump and Linda McMahon that what we have seen last night came to pass. That being said, it's not over yet. It's not over. There's more stuff.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuff to be done, but why would I mention that? Because here in Virginia, without question, the Spamburgers, the Hashmis, the Jay Joneses, they would be on the side of the guy pretending to be the girl. They already are. Take a look up there in Fairfax. Take a look up there in Loudoun. They're doing it now. 415, Jeff Katz, News Radio WR. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Look ahead. Let me tell you something. Friday, Independence Day, sunshine, highs of 90. Same thing for Saturday, same thing for Sunday. In other words, a great, enjoyable, pleasant, long weekend. Looking forward to that. Now, you do need to enjoy it because, according to the prognostications here, starting Monday, we are in for more than a full week, every single solitary day from Monday the 7th through July, that's Wednesday, July the 16th, some sort of rain, thunderstorms, etc. Anybody shocked? No, it is July. It is Central Virginia, and this is what we see on a regular basis. John Reed's going to be with us at 4:35. John is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. He was part of the big event last night up in Fairfax. It was billed as a unity rally, although sadly, the headline for just about every piece of news coverage that I have seen, heard, or read was that the sitting lieutenant governor did not mention in her speech the person who was carrying the mantle to take that spot. I am hoping, as I said, that it's kind of an oversight thing, right? That Winsome Sears, our lieutenant governor, who I think has done a great job, and I think she's a great woman. I was the first person, as you recall, I hope, to have her on this program when she announced she was running for lieutenant governor. Now, I don't endorse people because, you know, who cares if I endorse someone? But I did say early on in that contest that I would be voting for her, and I did, and everybody else did, and that's why she won. And she has been working closely for the past 4 years, not only with Governor Youngkin, but with Attorney General Jason Meares. And a lot is being made of the fact that she mentioned the AG. And didn't mention John. I'd like to think that there really wasn't anything to it. Am I right? Am I wrong? Could be either way. I don't know. But gang, I got to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, there are so many issues that far surpass this. It is about the future of our Commonwealth. It is about the future of our children. It is about whether or not Virginia remains the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And I do not want to see the 4 years of greatness we have seen, thanks to Governor Glenn Youngkin, go by the wayside. Go by the wayside. I'm just hoping. I am hoping that everybody moves along and gets focused on what is really, really at stake. We'll see if John Reed agrees with me, or maybe John has a different perspective. Although, I will say, since the very beginning, John has always talked about a unified GOP ticket. So I can't imagine that that's changed. We'll find out. It's 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon, 83 degrees as we speak. Coming up tomorrow, well, we got a lot of stuff coming up tomorrow, but one of the conversations I'm really looking forward to having is with a friend of mine, Mindy Applewhite. Mindy was a career law enforcement officer here in Central Virginia, probation, parole. And her beautiful daughter, who had just achieved everything that we as parents want our kids to achieve. She had gotten married. She had earned the highest degree possible in her field. She had just gotten her doctorate in nursing practice. I mean, she was a go-getter's go-getter. And she got hit by a car, driven by somebody who should have been behind bars. And now Mindy's daughter is gone, and Mindy is talking about it, and I'm just happy that she's willing to share it with us. So that's going to be tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you're here for that. And Charles, by the way, the pronunciation, that's Craig Eckrich. He's a good friend of mine. Now, I know it gets confusing because, as everybody at the Chesterfield County Police Department knows, Eckrich is actually spelled M-O-O-N-P-I-E, but it's pronounced Eckrich. All right, last night, big unity rally in Fairfax. Sounds good to me. Winsome Earl Sears, John Reed, Jason Miyares, love each and every one of them. We'll be voting for each and every one of them. Would love to have signs from each and every one of them in my front yard and my backyard. But the headline for every single solitary news report, be it radio, television, or in print, was that the Republican nominee for governor did not mention the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Is it a big deal or was it an oversight? I don't know. I wasn't there. I did watch some of the Facebook live casts, and I thought Governor Youngkin was on fire. I'd like to see him out on the campaign trail for everybody. But John Reed, who, of course, many people know as the host of the morning show for a long time, now the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. He clearly was there. He knows exactly what was going on. John, thank you for being here.
Hey, I'm glad to talk to you, Jeff. It was an exciting night, and the room was so hot. I'm telling you, people were kind of passing out in the back of the room. I was worried because it was so jam-packed. It was a good thing it was at a fire station, or they would have called the fire marshal. Seriously, it was that tough.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, all those Republicans, conservatives right there in Fairfax, good Lord, that's a great thing to hear.
It was very good. People came from all over the state. I don't even know what the final number was. It was several hundred people, and they were really excited. And I'm appreciative of that. And I felt like I got a great reception from the rank and file, the activists, the people who are going to make this happen this fall. And I'm just so thankful that people have stayed with me through some rough times and that they're sticking with me all the way through the fall. And I'm going to try to earn that confidence in every vote all across the state.
Excellent. Now, I am happy to hear that. I'm not surprised in any way. I would be remiss if I did not ask you to address what every news account of this is playing as the most important thing that did or did not happen last night, and that is that the Republican nominee for governor did not mention the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Should we be distraught or say stuff happens and let's move along?
Well, you know what? When you have Winsome on, why don't you talk to her about that? I will just tell you, I'm focused on winning, and I'm focused on being a team player, and I'm focused on making sure that the Republican message is heard by as many people across the state of Virginia as possible. And I'm not going to let anything distract me from doing that, because there is too much on the line for me to get caught up in personality or me to get caught up in specific issues. I've been around politics my whole life. There are always things that are going to get people spun up, and I just refuse to allow that to derail what I'm doing. I've given up everything to run for lieutenant governor. I quit the job at the radio station. I don't even have an income right now because I wanted to save my home state. So how do I say this, Jeff? Why don't you talk to Winsome about it, and I will just tell you, whatever anybody else does in the Republican Party, you can count on John Reed to stand up for you all the way through Election Day and for the next 4 years if you put me as lieutenant governor. How's that?
Excellent. It sounds great to me. Listen, you have since day one, all kidding aside, since day one have said we have a state to save. And you and I mean, we share a lot of things in addition to friendship and kinship and concerns. But you were fortunate enough to grow up in Virginia. I got here as quickly as possible, as you know, and absolutely love the Commonwealth. This is my home, and I refuse to stand back, sit aside, and watch as it is decimated by folks on the left. So I am right there with you that we literally have, I would say, a Commonwealth to save, but we have 4 years of Governor Youngkin, great work with Governor Youngkin. We have to continue that, and we do have to safeguard our beloved Commonwealth.
Yeah, and I was appreciative that Governor Youngkin, who you know I've had some conflicts with of late, he was very dignified. He was a gentleman. I always try to be a gentleman. I think you observed me at the radio station, Jeff. There were moments where I was hot about stuff, but if I raised my voice or if I dropped an inappropriate word, I would usually go back and clean up the situation at the station. I pride myself on being a Virginia gentleman, yep. And I appreciated that Governor Youngkin, both the other day when I saw him at the governor's mansion and at the event last night, you know, he was very polite. And, of course, Jason Meares and I go back many, many years, and I appreciated his kind words, too. So, you know, we just can't afford to get distracted by anything else, and I'm determined to do the work to meet the voters of Virginia, and everything else is a distraction.
Yep, no doubt about it. John Reed is joining us. John, of course, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. John, you stood up and said once the Democrats had nominated Ghazala Hashmi that you thought 10 debates between you and the senator who is either from Chesterfield or Richmond or wherever it is, because she has trouble remembering exactly where she lives herself. So far be it for me to try and figure that out. But you said 10 debates. Have you heard anything back from her?
I keep checking Twitter, and I keep checking my email, and I keep checking my text message. Everybody else in the state apparently knows how to text message me. But no, I haven't heard word one. And look, all right, so you don't want to do 10, right? You're scared to do 10. I know. I was on TV and I was on radio, and, you know, Senator Hashmi's probably not known for being the most dynamic speaker. Cool. Okay. So what's your counterproposal, right? I mean, or are you really expecting that you're going to run a Joe Biden campaign from the basement where you don't actually have to answer any difficult questions and you just assume that people who hate Donald Trump are all going to go vote for you? Because I got to tell you, I'm not going to let that be a winning strategy for her, because the stuff that she has done since she's been in the Senate is really extreme. And one way or another, we're going to talk about her record. And I, at least, again, am a gentleman enough to say, hey, if you'd like to defend your record, I will stand on the stage with you and we can have the back and forth. And I'm going to be polite. I hope I will be fair. I'm interested in hearing her defend keeping the schools closed and letting boys compete against girls in sports. Tell me why you think that's okay. And I don't think most Virginians are going to go for that when they hear it.
No doubt. John Reed joining us, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. That is a huge point for parents, and it has to be a big issue for parents. This idea that boys really are, amongst other things, stealing the scholarships that their daughters ought to be entitled to. But, John, I need to hear your reaction. Last night, the University of Pennsylvania, as a result of President Trump and Attorney General Bondi and Secretary of Education Linda McMahon, the University of Pennsylvania stripped that Will Thomas of every one of the titles, restored them to the actual girls who had won them, and is apologizing to each of those real female athletes. Your thoughts?
That is just. That is fair. That is a commitment to the truth. I noticed that the Associated Press story about it this morning continued to refer to this individual by the incorrect gender pronouns. I mean, this is a physical male. I'm so sorry if you're confused. I would never try to hurt someone or belittle someone or denigrate someone or physically harm someone. But I just think when we're talking about public policy, it has to be based on factual truth, in this case, biological truth. And thank God we got Donald Trump to stand up and say, I'm going to go after these crazy policies, and I'm not going to let this stand. And I was thrilled to see that result, and I hope it will sober up a lot of the people who have gone along with this leftist garbage. And I also hope, sincerely, that it will embolden the people who've been scared for the last 5 or 6 years to say, you know what? I don't have to cower in the corner. I can speak up for my daughter. I can go to the school board and demand that this change. I can confront the coaches and the officials at the different organizations that govern sports and say, no, this is not factual. This is not acceptable. And, you know, stand up for your kids. Thank God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If this is not reminiscent of what we, the parents, had to do when Terry McAuliffe was running against Glenn Youngkin, obviously you remember it. You and I spoke extensively about it on the air, off the air, when Terry McAuliffe said parents had no business being involved in their kids' education. Parents should butt out. And parents... In Loudoun, in Fairfax, in Arlington, in Alexandria, as left-wing leaning as they are, even those parents said, whoa, buddy, you got to dial that back. We don't go along with that. I have to think it's still an issue for parents around the Commonwealth.
It's a huge issue, and the Democrats really foolishly and arrogantly have doubled and tripled down on the idea that parents don't run their own child's lives, that they don't have a say in their own kids' education. That, you know, once you drop your child off at school at 8 o'clock in the morning, you lose control, and the state will educate that child. And, you know, it'd be one thing if the public school system, no offense, because my dad was a principal and my mother was a school teacher, so I'm not trying to beat up on the teachers, but it would be one thing if the public school system was delivering just a factory of Rhodes Scholars here. All you got to do is go around the society in the summertime when all the kids are out, and you realize that ain't happening. So in light of the fact that they're actually not delivering in many cases for the students or for the families, I think we need to shake this whole thing up, and the Democrats refuse. It's why I'm running for lieutenant governor, because in case you haven't noticed, I know you have, I'm never going to sit on the sidelines and be quiet when something bad is happening. You can count on me to stand up and raise hell about it, hopefully in a dignified way and in a responsible way. But I'm just not going to sit here and let the society go down the toilet because of some sort of perceived fear, or, you know, they're going to call me ugly names. Call me whatever you want. Let's fix this situation so we don't lose another generation of young kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me remind everybody that my friend John Reed joining us a couple of moments here. The Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. John, one of the most important things in terms of campaigns, it's about money. It's about getting your message out there. It's about me telling you, hey, I need more signs. You know, I go around, I babysit a lot of the signs I put up here in Hanover, and I lost two of them to somebody from the Ashland Little League. Now, I love the Ashland Little League, but I'm going to find out why their sign is up and my sign is down. So, yeah, exactly. We're going to need more signs. You need to have exposure throughout the state. How do people listening right now help you out? How do they learn more about you? How do they get activated?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I'm Episcopalian. So I was kind of raised you don't beg for money. You just figure something out. But when it comes to politics, my opponent, Senator Hashmi, Ghazala Hashmi, just got $1 million from the Democrat Lieutenant Governors Association. And I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you, the Republicans are not giving me money like that. I don't know why. I'm a little frustrated by that since I have supported Republicans for, 40 years and worked for Republicans and advocated for them. So I really and truly, if you can go to John Reed for Virginia, it's R-E-I-D, all spelled out, johnreedforvirginia.com. There is a donation portal. I know Elon Musk is probably not listening to this program, but there are probably some people between the hourly worker at, Burger King and Elon Musk status who might be able to, make a pledge every month for the next 4 months. And if I can count on, $100,000 a month, which seems extraordinary to me. God, Jeff, I just can't believe how expensive this stuff is. You know, the two signs that you say you lost?
Yep.
They're $5 a piece. So I go around the state and people are like, oh, can you get me 200 signs? And I think, yeah, I'm going to try to raise the money to give you the signs. Mm. And then, I've got a couple of people who are wonderful volunteers who just work nonstop to help me. But I've had to hire a couple of people to help me, who have skills.
Yep.
None of this is cheap. And I've been around it my whole life. And I have to tell you, I've been shocked. I might as well have a little a pit in the backyard and just take the dollar bills and set them on fire because the money burns like that. It's crazy.
Well, the upside is, my friend, you are involved in this for all of the right reasons. You are Jack and Judy's son, and you continue to advocate for this Commonwealth that you have loved your whole life and I have learned to love during the last 13 years or so. So give everybody that website one more time, if you don't mind.
I will. It's johnreedforvirginia.com, all spelled out. The last name's R-E-I-D, johnreedforvirginia.com. And let me just reiterate what you said earlier, Jeff. There are going to be a lot of things that are frustrating in this campaign. There are going to be a lot of hurt feelings, some intended, some not intended. I'm working for the Republican ticket. I'm voting for Winsome. I'm voting for Jason. I'm voting for Republicans like my friend David Owen, who's my delegate in Henrico. That guy's working his tail off for the citizens of Henrico. Mark Early Jr. in Chesterfield. I mean, there's so many people that I know personally who are working to protect the Commonwealth, and I'm all in for the Republican ticket. And, whatever anybody else does, I just cannot be bothered or distracted by it. I'm focused on winning.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. That is John Reed. John is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 506, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Hanging tough here at 83 degrees. I got a number of things that you and I need to address. I do want to remind you quickly about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. I'm trying to think of the nicest, most polite, most delicate way to put this. There are a lot of issues at play right now. All right? A lot of issues on a lot of fronts that a lot of people are dealing with. And there's distraction. There's always some sort of distraction. Sometimes distractions, you know, sometimes, every once in a while, I say, you know, I don't want to deal with real world stuff. I want to be distracted for a little bit. I want to take an hour here, 2 hours there, and just, well, deal with something else. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at the Brad Thor thing. Brad was with us at 3:35, but if you missed that, man, oh man, you head on over to WRBA.com, please, and get the podcast there. You can take a listen to it. You can download it, share it with friends, because the brand new book's called Edge of Honor, and it's out. But that's a distraction. Now, for me, it's a very pleasant distraction. It gives me some time to escape into a different world. And, you know, then you got to come back to reality. It is what it is, right? So in reality, and this is not getting any play that I've seen anywhere, and it's fascinating to me, is that CBS and Paramount Global have now entered into an agreement with President Donald Trump. And they are going to pay somewhere north of $30 million to settle President Trump's election interference lawsuit. President Trump immediately gets $16 million. That is to cover legal fees, the costs of the case, as well as some contributions to his presidential library, to charitable causes that he can choose. There's then expected to be another round of eight-figure payments, which will be paid again by CBS and Paramount Global to President Trump. CBS, in addition to everything, has agreed to update its editorial standards. They are installing a mandatory new rule. And you know what it's going to be called? Apparently what it's already called at CBS, it is called the Trump Rule. The network will promptly release full, unedited transcripts of future presidential candidates' interviews. You know what happened here. CBS 60 Minutes went in and they edited it in a rather creative sort of a way. Their interview with Kamala Harris to make it seem as if, well, you know, she was cogent and competent. Which I guess they just assumed they would continue doing because they had covered for Joe Biden and the auto pen for 4 years. President Trump called him out on it. Still, some people I know don't like Trump. I don't get it. You should know President Trump's approval rating is the highest of any president at the moment and the highest that President Trump has ever gotten. It's amazing stuff. It's really amazing stuff. But because of this, that sort of creative editing on the part of, quote, news organizations will not have.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Happen anymore. That's important stuff. That's a huge development, and that, frankly, hasn't been reported in a lot of places. I just felt compelled to share it with you. There's something else that's not getting nearly as much attention as it should. The folks in charge of ICE, Todd Lyons, he's the actual ICE director, said the left-wing activists now are targeting the children of ICE agents in an effort to get those ICE agents, I guess, to be so intimidated that they will no longer do their job. The leftists are also saying there's no reason for these ICE agents to be wearing face coverings. But Mr. Lyons, Director Lyons, says, wouldn't you wear a mask if it kept your family safe, if it kept your kids safe? We ran an operation with the Secret Service, he said. We arrested someone who was going online, taking the photos of ICE agents, posting their families and their kids' Instagram, their kids' Facebooks, targeting them. So let me ask, is that the issue here? That anyone is upset with masks? Or is anyone upset that an ICE officer's family has been labeled as terrorists? It's an outrageous situation for them. It's an untenable situation. There's the app out now that allows people in real time to disclose the locations of ICE agents doing their job. And there are reasons behind it. And they're not good reasons. Reason number one, I guess, would be to help criminals not get caught. But the other part of it, you know, I know, is to target those ICE agents for some sort of abuse. So President Trump's team says, well, we're thinking about maybe some sort of criminal charges against the guy who developed the app. I don't know that you can do that. I'm not an attorney. I don't know, but it seems to me to be sort of a stretch. After I posted the story, though, a whole slew of people said, well, Jeff, I'm doing my part. I'm filing false reports. Oh, that's interesting. It's interesting. CBS is convinced, same CBS that just had to pay tens of millions of dollars for a hatchet job, apparently continuing to engage in hatchery. Give me cut number one, please.
President Trump is heading to Florida tomorrow for the opening of a detention center for undocumented immigrants. It's in the Everglades, and state officials are calling it Alligator Alcatraz. This is part of the president's immigration crackdown, and Adam Yamaguchi reports the threat of arrest is creating fear in immigrant communities in Southern California.
Hey, leave him alone, bro.
Each new arrest brings the plea of a son.
That wasn't correct, and that was not just
a daughter.
I just want my dad to come home safe.
Or a neighbor.
What you're doing is kidnapping.
People are being ripped away from their law-abiding lives.
Social media has documented ICE agents as they haul people away. Some of the raids across Southern California have targeted car washes, shopping centers, and parks, including here in Pasadena, where Victor Gordo is mayor.
There's a very real, palpable sense of fear. If they look like an immigrant, then they're suspect.
There's this heaviness and emptiness in the streets here. And once in a while, you can see some signs of what's been going on. Somebody left candles here. This is a site where six undocumented day laborers were helping with wildfire recovery efforts, waiting for the bus to take them to work when they were snatched up by armed, masked agents and essentially disappeared.
Disappeared, their families say, because they often don't know where they're being detained.
What was the probable cause there? You know, other than they had brown skin, it's racial profiling, it's borderline stalking and hunting.
An hour's drive south of Pasadena, in the heavily Latino community of Santa Ana.
It's no longer a safe place to be for a lot of people.
Martin Chirez is a minister who arrived from Mexico at age 9. He's among those known as dreamers, people brought into the U.S. as children who hope to get a citizenship.
Are you afraid?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be racially profiled.
He tells us much of his ministry has moved online because people are too scared to go out.
In our last gathering on Zoom, one of the moms in tears, her main prayer is to be invisible. I mean, that's her prayer every day. God, make me invisible.
We have to ask ourselves, as a society, is this who we are? Is this who we want to be?
Now, Pasadena's mayor says he won't go anywhere without his U.S. passport.
Okay. I don't exactly follow what the... Is this who we want to be? You mean a nation of laws? Yes, that is exactly who we want to be. Do you have any more questions? Because I'm happy to answer them, but I'm pretty sure that was the question. And as they say in court, asked and answered. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Hey, it's cooling down, 81. Yeah, get a sweater, a little something, huh? Coming up at 535, Mike Dickinson will be here. Our version of Andy Knows, citizen journalist, citizen reporter. You know, there's a connection between VCU and the Jew-hating communist who wants to be mayor of New York City. Huh. Hang on a second, I got my shocked face here somewhere. Well, anyway, Mike is going to be covering that. Tomorrow morning, Rich Herrera is going to be here starting at 6 a.m. I want you to tune in. Richmond's Morning News. I was chatting with Rich this morning, actually. Always happy to visit. And he's got his son coming to visit. He said, what did he say? Oh, Independence. He's coming Independence Day. So they got a big agenda. I think he's going to be here for a week. So that's pretty cool. Believe me, I know what it's like to be working far away from family. It is not easy. So I'm hoping that he and Riggs will have a opportunity to travel and enjoy, well, everything they want to travel and enjoy. So that's good stuff. President Trump was traveling and enjoying, I think, the view of Alligator Alcatraz. This is the new facility in Florida. Governor DeSantis stood this thing up in, what, like 2 weeks? It's an old, abandoned local airport in, I'm trying to think, I think it was the north of Miami-Dade County. Anyway, I think we got just enough time here for cut number three.
And what the Alligator Alcatraz is the idea that if dogs equilibrate and escape, they just get eaten by an alligator or a snake or something?
I guess that's the concept. This is not a nice business. I guess that's the concept. If you know, snakes are fast, but alligators are big. We're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
Do you know what the knock on President Trump was for that visit? I kid you not. I won't even allow this to be played on the air. This is how stupid it was. It caused my ears to bleed. Democrats on one of those networks said, you know, alligators don't usually eat people and pythons don't usually attack people. So what's the big deal? Why are they? And I said, oh, my God, really? Can you be that stupid? And then I thought, yes, yes, you can. And you just proved it. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 536, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. You know, on the first Wednesday of each month, I bring in my friend Sam Richardson from the Federation, the Jewish Community Federation of Richmond. We had gotten together a number of months ago, and over a cup of coffee or 10, we said we need to do something to enhance awareness of what is happening inside the Jewish community. It's amazing, given the size of Central Virginia in general, and then our Jewish community in particular, but given the relatively small sizes, how active the Jewish community is. It's also amazing to me, and has been for a while, that there's so many of us inside that Jewish community who don't actually know about everything that's going on within the Jewish community. And so Sam and I kind of put together this idea, invited him to join us the first Wednesday of each and every month, talk a little bit about what is going on, some of the things that need to be addressed. And because the Jewish Federation is so wide, it really is all-encompassing. There are a lot of different working parts there, a lot of moving parts. And we've been bringing on some other people involved with the efforts. And I'm happy to say that's happening today. We'll chat with Sam in a little bit about what has happened since we last spoke involving Iran and things of that sort. In addition to that, there's a specific focus at the Jewish Community of Federation of Richmond on women's philanthropy, which I must confess was new to me. Dot Heffron heads that up. She's joining us. Dot, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Tell me a little bit about this focus on women's philanthropy. And are we as Jewish guys not invited, or are we supposed to just stand on the outside and look in?
Well, of course, we always look to the entire community to make the biggest impact. But women's philanthropy at the Jewish Community Federation of Richmond is where passion meets purpose. We are a multi-generational network, lead and build, strengthening Jewish life locally in Israel and around the world. From legacy giving to emergency responses, we women mobilize resources and leverage our relationships to meet the moment. And at Federation, women are not just part of the story, Jeff. We are driving the future.
Well, how are you doing that? Tell me what's going on there.
We have amazing programming that we have throughout the year. Starting in September, we kind of take the summer, as most organizations do, to hit reset.
Right.
So we have a lot of really cool programs coming up. In particular, we have a young women's happy hour at a local brewery to be determined. I'll be sure to send... I'll be sure to send my friend Sam with details on that one.
Okay.
We're going to have a Lunch and Learn series that will be throughout the year, meeting monthly, an opportunity for women or anyone who's interested to meet with local congregational rabbis and have conversations about the it's called Pirkei Avot. Mm-hmm. It's the wisdom of the fathers, and to learn a little bit, go a little bit deeper into some Jewish scholarly opportunities.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Dot Heffern's joining us. She's the head of women's philanthropy over at the Jewish Community Federation of Richmond. One of the things that most people, certainly within the Jewish community, and I would dare say outside the Jewish community as well, know about, they've heard about, they're somewhat aware of, L'dor V'dor. Explain to everybody the meaning of the term, and then what exactly do you do with that?
Well, the Hebrew word, phrase rather, L'dor V'dor, means from generation to generation. We have an annual women's philanthropy hosts an annual event. It is our signature women's event here in Richmond, where we present the Woman of Valor Award to a woman in our community who exemplifies legacy, leadership, and generational learning for our community.
How do you pick the winners?
No, that's a top secret.
Is it?
I can't tell you how the sausage is made. No, no. Actually, the recipient is chosen by a group of her peers that are former Women of Valor Award recipients.
Oh, how cool.
So it's very much a it's nice. It's a sisterhood, really. It's lovely.
Yeah, no, I love the whole idea behind that. How difficult is it to bring people in? How difficult is it to get the involvement? I mean, people hear philanthropy, and you know, I mean, because you're talking to people all the time, and they're going, oh, man, somebody else is going to want some money. I know it, I know it, I know it. How difficult is it to get over that hurdle?
I think it's not as hard as it sounds when folks understand the value and the impact of what Federation brings to the table. It's an easy conversation, to be honest with you. I should, probably shouldn't. My boss might be listening. I don't want to say how easy it is. Well, it really is. It's an easy conversation because people want to invest where they feel there's an impact and there's a return on that investment. And Federation is... has proven that it's a worthwhile investment that, you know, creates opportunities for engagement, not just with happy hours for young women here in Richmond,
sure,
but support for families of IDF reservists who are called to duty. Supporting families in Israel who need that from their American counterparts.
Talk a little bit about what has changed since October the 7th, 2023. For some of us, I think it has rekindled a connection with our Judaism. For other folks, they've said, well, that's it. I'm not telling anybody. I don't even want to chat about it. And I'd have to think there are a lot of people sort of in the middle trying to find their footing. What's the impact been for you and other folks of the Federation?
Yeah, I think you really nailed it, Jeff. I mean, we have the whole spectrum of responses, and what we are seeing nationally and globally is in our circle, we call it the surge. Since October 7th, there has been a tremendous response from Jews in America to reengage and to reconnect, to find that comfort and meaning in community. And at Federation, we are kept busy, making sure that we have fun things for people to do. We have meaningful things for people to do, you know, to really offer a buffet, if you will, of really great ways to engage and to learn and connect, because there is an appetite for it, to be sure.
I am so happy to hear that, because there are so many challenges. Part of it, I think, relates to geography. Some of us grew up in parts of the country where there's a much more sizable Jewish community, so it was always sort of easy. You kind of fell into it. There seems to be a real big generational component to mm-hmm. it as well, but it does sound as if you and the team of the Federation, you've got a handle on all of it.
Well, we try. We certainly try. You know, there's no shortage of need. You know, like I said, both for, you know, just our local agencies have been seeing an increase in need. JFS, the JCC, our local synagogues have needed to shore up security. We help, mm-hmm. You know, find the grant money for that. We help provide the money for that. So yeah, there's been no shortage, and we've definitely been busy, but it's really, really deeply meaningful work.
I love it. For folks who are hearing this, some for the first time, Dot, some are thinking, oh, that's Dot Heffron. Yeah, she does that philanthropy stuff for the for the Federation. Where do they go? I'm going to assume it's a website that they can get more information, some of these great events they certainly want to be part of, and hopefully some folks are listening saying, yep, I want to help out. What's the best one-stop shop?
You bet. So folks can go to jewishrichmond.org. Where I hope that they will scroll down to the bottom of the page and subscribe to our newsletter if they'd like to stay connected.
Okay.
And if folks are interested in supporting either Federation, the work that we do ongoing, or directly to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there are links for that. The Israel Emergency Campaign link can be found by going to jewishrichmond.org. Clicking on Find Your Place, and then clicking on Israel and Overseas. Okay. And they'll be right there. 100% of all of the gifts made through the Israel Emergency Fund are distributed to those to help those that are affected directly.
I love it. JewishRichmond.org, JewishRichmond.org. Dot, I appreciate what you do with the Federation. I appreciate you making time for us. And we'll get the chance, I hope, to chat again soon.
I appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you so much for this time.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is Dot Heffron. She heads up women's philanthropy over at the Jewish Community Federation. Some great opportunities there. Again, jewishrichmond.org, jewishrichmond.org. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and there you have it. It's Wednesday. It's going to be a short week for most of us. I do continue to harass anybody and everybody and remind you that Friday is Independence Day. That's the holiday. You know, I got a thing about holidays, as you know. I talk about it all. Jeff, I just wanted to wish you a happy Memorial Day. Okay, don't take it the wrong way, but I'm pretty sure you're an idiot. How dare you? Well, I want us all to understand the reason. Jeff, I wish you a happy 4th. Huh? Yeah, you know, happy 4th of July. They don't have 4th of July anywhere else. Dudes and dudettes, they got, 4th of July everywhere else. We have Independence Day.
Yeah.
Couple of folks checking in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1148.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
338-04-1140. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Cats. What happened to Mike Dickinson? Well, today I lay it all on Jeremy's shoulders. Now, yesterday I succeeded in screwing up the entire system. No, totally on me yesterday. However, today, I'm blaming Germ. Jeremy made a, Germ, don't take it the wrong way. He made a rookie mistake. Yeah, I know he's not a rookie. I get it. But no, total rookie mistake. He double booked. It happens. So, yeah, we're just going to get Mike Dickinson recalibrated and slated for another day. So there you go. And it is on Jeremy. No, it is. It's all on Jeremy today. Yesterday, well, you want to know. I know. I'm seeing the Facebook. Jeff, what did you do yesterday? So I was talking yesterday with Ryan Hudson right at the end of the show. And I think this is a good thing for us to know moving forward, Germ. Never book Ryan at the end of the show. Book him earlier if we're going to have him on. And I was looking at a different screen. Jeremy had done exactly what he was supposed to do because Germ's a professional. I like him. Said, you know, you got to do this. You need you out by this. You got to break. Okay. Oh, I wasn't even looking at it. I was looking at the other thing. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'll be here till Saturday. That's fine with me. All I'm doing is talking, right? So I screwed it up. But today, Jeremy, swinging a miss on that one. But otherwise, I do believe Jeremy has solidly stuck each and every part of the landing. Tomorrow, we got some great stuff. I am going to tell you that. Amongst other things, we have Mindy Applewhite joining us. And Mindy is a very, very special lady, someone who dedicated her life to law enforcement. To put it mildly, she's a law enforcement vet. And her daughter, Dr. Lindsay Grizzard Braun, is dead. Killed by, I guess you could say it nicely, a reckless driver. That's how my buddy John Burkett described him. Thing is that this reckless driver should have been in prison. Now, you know me. I'm all about second chances. And I'm all about helping folks who are locked up get right and do the right thing and all the rest of it. But in this case, this is somebody who never, ever, ever should have been where he was. And it was a terrible, this poor girl was literally pulling out of her driveway. Right? This wasn't some high-speed crash or anything else. And this guy should not have been out. So we will chat with Mindy tomorrow. Her efforts to make the system work for people. I will tell you that she was with Attorney General Jason Meares the other day. And they've got a lot of work ahead of them. A lot of work ahead of them. We'll see how it goes. But Mindy will be with us tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I would urge you to be listening to my friend Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. That all gets started at 6 a.m. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.